people of Herman. It is good to see you today, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to speak to you. I love your pastor, and I have known your pastor for many years. And he and Judy have been faithful in the service of the Lord. And he has done a good work here. I knew Donnie when he was in Union County. I knew him, and we visited with him in Florida. And when he came to Herman, you were called Little Herman at that time. In a small congregation. And less money. And he felt the call of God. And he has done a good work. And you have done a good job of following. Last time I was here, I said to you, we will now never call Herman Little Herman no more. We will call it Big Herman. Grateful Herman. Blessed Herman. That is you. I say amen too. It is a great day. You're facing the same situation here at your church that we are facing at our association. And that is, we are losing our leader. I want to remind you, we both have good leaders. We have a great God. We love our leaders. You love your leader, I love my leader. But we do not worship them. We worship our God. I'm going to speak to you today on a verse of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm going to read it to you first in the King James. And the title of the message today is, Once You Know Your Spiritual Gifts, Then What? Now the King James, the thundering diction of the King James says, Every man has received the gifts, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to read you that same passage from the Holman translation. It says, Based on the gifts, or the gift, each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, I grew up in a church, a good church, but honestly, they did not teach about spiritual gifts. I didn't know the difference between spiritual gifts and Christmas gifts. And I had a gift that God had given me when God saved me at age 16. I did not fully develop that and maybe fully haven't developed that gift. But I knew that God had given me a gift. And that was a gift of pastoring teaching. The reason I know that is because I was terrified to speak in public. It terrified me. On the school days when we had to get book reports, I would grow very sick to the point that it affected me. Speaking in public was not in my DNA, but it was in my spiritual DNA. Now, if you think I'm a poor speaker now, you should have known me then. Later on, I understand from the scriptures and what God was doing that God had gifted me with a gift of administration. I had the ability to see how people could be used and to organize that process. So I want to ask you, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Now, Pastor Donnie, I'm sure, has taught you about gifts. And so I'm telling you what my gift is. My gift is teaching. My gift is administration. And my gift is exhortation. And I hope you know what your spiritual gifts are. But once you do know what your spiritual gifts are, what then? I'm going to give you some things to consider. Are spiritual gifts the only consideration for serving in the body of Christ? Are spiritual gifts the only consideration? And the answer to that question is no. Consider your heart. What do you love to do? I'll give you an example. Peter was very good at fishing. He had fished all his life. He was good at catching fish. And so Jesus realized that and gave him a new commission, not only to catch fish, but to catch people. Consider your heart. Consider your abilities. Now, I've heard the world say that you can do anything you want to do. Have you heard that? I hear those people that get up, you know, when they get their awards, and you can do anything you want to do. There's a problem with that. It's wrong. You can't do anything you want to do. I can't sing worth a flip. I went to my choir director some years ago. We were having a few struggles. And I said to her, your numbers are few. Would you like for me to help you out? And she said, Pastor, thank you, but we're not that desperate yet. You cannot do anything you want to do. Consider your experiences. What has God allowed you to do? What do you do in your professional life? Would you want someone, I don't know who the treasurer is in this church, and you don't have to identify yourself, but would you want someone who is the treasurer of your church, someone that couldn't even balance their own checkbook? You would want someone who was good at that. David was very good at taking care of sheep. That was his professional experience. And God said, David, I'm going to let you shepherd the whole nation of Israel. And in time, that's what he did. What are the questions to consider about using your spiritual gifts to serve in the body of Christ? What are the questions to consider? Question one. For example, let's say that you do not know what your spiritual gift is. Should I serve in the church before I discover my spiritual gift? Especially, this would apply to the young people. I've noticed that most of the young people are on the right side. Some older people have filtered in their organization, though. One of the ways to figure out what your spiritual gift is to serve. By the way, when you figure out what your spiritual gift is, the church will confirm it. The church will put their authorization upon what you're doing. They will come up to you and say, that was good. God used you to speak to my heart. You may not be good at it yet, but the church will confirm it. And you will sense a deep satisfaction when you do what God has gifted you. You'll want to do it again. You may fumble. You may flounder. But you will have a desire to do it again. That's how you know what your spiritual gift. God will confirm it to you. You will gain inner peace by doing it. Urge to do it again. And by the way, you gain knowledge and understanding as you continue to do that. So yes, serve. Now, the next question that comes in line with this, what should I do if I get involved in an area of church where I have no sense of fulfillment? Now, I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking expressly to the church leaders. For example, there are things to do in the church that will not utilize your spiritual gift. Maybe like moving the chairs, taking them out of this room, cleaning up. Needs that the church has. Maybe a fellowship. You say, well, my gift is not fixing food, but you can help. So you don't have to utilize your spiritual gift all the time to be helpful in the body of Christ. Sometimes things just need to be done. But for certain people, their gifts are very their own display, like J.D. and Jesse this morning. That was a wonderful psalm. I love their kinesthetic nature. I don't have it. Mine is inward. By the way, you have to let people be who they are. Now, they're very touchy-feely. We call that kinesthetic. I love that. I love to be in the midst of those people. It overflows. But you have to be who you are, how God has made you. Now, here's what happens in Baptist churches. I've been Baptist for a long time. I can tell you about Baptist churches. Here's what happens. You probably have a committee here, whether you might call it a committee, you might call it a team, but at a certain time of the year, like this fall, they will gather together and say, okay, we need all these jobs fulfilled. We need the teaching jobs and the nursery jobs and the sound music and so on, right? You have that here? Here's what happens, folks. We get down to, we got most of them done, but there's a few that's not done, and we ask so-and-so, and they say, no, no. And we come back in the meeting, and they say, well, whoever we asked said no, and the second person I said no, and said, who do we have that we can fill this slot? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And we'll say, we'll ask so-and-so, they can never say no. You've got them in this church here, too. Well, I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you today that this church and every Southern Baptist church needs a forward and a reverse. Are you listening to me? When I ask that question, I expect a nod or something. Okay? I just want to explain the rules. Are you listening to me? Okay. Sometimes people get in jobs that is not suited for their spiritual gift. They're absolutely miserable in their job. And how many can say, amen, you've been there? The Baptist church needs a reverse. My vehicle has reverse. I'm parked in a parking lot. I can't go forward. I would go into the ditch. I need a reverse. I can back out. Then I will put it in forward again. And I can move on down the road. And the church needs that today. Herman Baptist needs that today. That if you as a member of Herman Baptist get into a position, you say, this is not where God wants me to serve. You can go to this committee and say, without feeling any burden of guilt, I took this position. This is not where God wants me to serve. And they will say to you, that is okay. We will allow you to back out of that situation without any feeling of harassment or guilt, and you can find where you need to be. Now, we don't say that in the Baptist church, but I'm telling you, you need this if you don't already have it. And you might already have it. I may be preaching to the choir. I'm going to give you a biblical example of what I'm talking about. Because you may say, is that biblical? I think it is. In the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 6, there was a problem in the church. By the way, I grew up in church, and the thought in my mind was the church should never have problems. But the church does have problems. Do you know why we have problems? That's exactly right. We got people. The difference is how we deal with the problems. By the way, if you happen to come back this evening, I'm going to talk about how to deal with one of the problems in the church. So they're in a problem situation. You know this story. You've been in church any time of your life. They defined expectations for caring for the widows. Now, if it had been today's church, you've been in the Baptist church, and the problem came up, and the church would have said, Pastor, that's what we pay you to do. You take care of this problem. And so the pastor would have went about taking care of the widows and meeting their needs. That's not what this early church did. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to select people to take care of this situation. And they did, and the apostles were able to continue in doing what they were supposed to do, what God had called them to do, and the church continued to grow and multiply. Now, that's the way it's supposed to work, folks. But these early apostles did not have a guilt complex about what God had called them to do, and they allowed the members of that congregation to meet that need and move forward. So that's the answer to this question. What should I do if I get involved in an area of church where I have no sense of fulfillment? What is the answer? Reverse. Find where God has called you. And the church needs to allow you to do that. Now, I taught this principle for years. And when the people got in a situation, they could reverse out. Now, the next thing I want to point out, how do I get started in the church to exercise the gifts God's given me? Now, this is a good question, and it deserves a good answer. The answer to this needs to be addressed by the church. Now, I'm going to speak to you. If someone asks you to help in something, here's how to respond. First questions first. If a leader asks you for help, whether clarified or not, volunteer. Try it. If you're in an area that you find out that this is not for you, what can you do? Yes, that's exactly right. I'm glad you were listening. Thank you very much. What happens is when you try to do something that maybe you haven't done before, you will gain experience, you will gain knowledge. Even if it's not for you, you will gain appreciation. Now, I can't lead music, I can't sing, but I had to lead music when I was at Fruitland. It was mandatory. We had to lead the chapel. I'm talking about this stuff like this. 2-4, 4-4, 3-4. I was never so afraid in all my life. I'm being very transparent. It terrified me. Oh, I could preach. If it was 1,000 people, it didn't really bother me, but to get up and try to lead music, I mean, my knees literally smote together. That's King James. I'm glad some of you got a sense of humor this morning. That experience was not for me. It was not my gift. It was not my talent. It was not my heart. It was not my professional work. But when these people get up and sing on Sunday morning and I'm listening to them, I have a deep appreciation for what they do. And I am grateful to God He has gifted them. So get started. I'm going to talk a little more about that in just a moment. Now, number D, how can the church assist people in utilizing their gifts in ministry? How can you do it? This is your job, church. People are coming in. New people are coming in. What do you do? First, number one, biblical training to show them the gifts described in the Bible. You've got to teach people. Show them what the Bible says that every person, as I read this scripture to you, every person has a gift. Some may say, well, I don't have a gift. No, you don't have the knowledge. The gift is in you. When you got saved, God gave you a gift to serve others. Every one of you. I've heard people say, well, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. You may not have the knowledge. You may not have the training, but you got the gift. Number two, present proper questions or surveys to help people realize their gift. There are surveys you can go online and do. You can go to Lifeway. You've never taken a spiritual gifts test. You need to go to Lifeway. Take the test. Find out where your gifts are. It's good. These are questions to ask you to help you understand where God has gifted you. You got the gift. You got to find out what it is. And the church can help you find out it is. Number three, provide entry points into the ministry. Now, this is why the church does pretty good with number one. Number two, this is why I see most churches not doing too well. Hopefully you are, but if you're not, I'm going to point it out. How do you get people involved? You've got to have entry points. What's the entry point into the ministry of this church? If you don't know the answer to that, you're probably not doing a good job. When people would join the church when I last pastored, I would get them immediately involved in a ministry. I would say, you are now official greeters for the church. They said, well, we don't know anything about the church. I said, great. Who is more apt to understand how someone who is coming into the church for the first time to feel than someone who just joined the church? Some people who've been here for 100 years, they don't know. It's been so long since that happened. It's hard for them to remember what it's like to come into a strange place with strange people and wonder how are people going to accept me. So I'd give them, that'd be their first job. And then I'd say, okay, some of you are going to take up the money. Not people who'd been there 20 years, new people. Get them involved. That's something they can do, by the way. I mean, all you do is walk down an aisle and you got a plate in your hand and you offer it to somebody. If they won't take it, you go to the next row. Right? It's not that hard. Get new people involved in this stuff. These are entry points. You've got Sunday school, you've got children's ministry, you got music ministry, you got church cleaning ministry, you got refreshment ministry, you got VBS, you got nursery ministry, you got website, you got email, prayer ministry. You got to get these people involved. Some of you may be thinking, this is the best days of Herman Baptist Church. I'm telling you it's not. Your best days are in front of you. Donnie has brought you to a certain point. We praise God for that. We love Him for that. God's got someone to not only take you to the promised land, God's got someone to take you into the promised land. You follow what I'm saying? You've got to have that expectation. Yes, you're going to be very sad Donnie's leaving. I'm sad too. I'm sad Brother Dennis is leaving. He has been a mentor to me. Now, I've discovered a few things. I'm going to give you some things I've discovered. Number one, most people won't volunteer. How many of you were in service? Anybody? Don't be bashful now. Raise that hand high. We're proud of you. What did they teach you in service? Never volunteer. That's right. That carried on to the church, by the way. People do not volunteer in church. You got to ask them. People are waiting to be asked. There's some young people in here that need to be asked to be a part of what you're doing. Now I'm going to give you some biblical examples, and I'm going to bring it down to your church. What are the dynamics involved in this process? It's crucial, by the way, folks. This is a crucial process. It's crucial for the life of your church. It's crucial for the future of your church. It's crucial if you're going to fill up these empty pews. It's crucial if you're going to build upon the foundation that Donnie Gamble and Judy Gamble has set here in this church. Donnie wants to look back in 5 years and said, I did a good job at Herman Baptist Church. They chose under the leadership of the Holy Spirit a man who will lead this church further than I was able to lead them. That was my hope when I left my last church, that they would go further than I had took them. That's what he's hoping too, by the way. The dynamics involved in this process is called a mentoring spirit. A mentoring spirit. I'm going to give you biblical examples. By the way, Larry, when you read that this morning, I almost jumped for joy. I said, I know God's involved in this because Larry read something that went exactly with where I was going today. I felt it. I felt it weeks ago when Donnie asked me. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I felt God speak to my spirit, say, this is what you need to give to the people at Herman. And when Larry read that this morning, I said, I knew God was in this. Joshua, who was his mentor? You can talk to me. It's okay. Moses. Who was Elisha's mentor? Who was Timothy's mentor? Who was John Mark's mentor? Very good. I was one. That was a hard one, by the way. Who was Peter's mentor? Jesus. Yes. He had 12 disciples. You know who he spent the most time with? Peter, James, and John. Those were the three of the inner circle. You know why he spent more time with them? Yeah, like some of us. They were going to become the leaders of the church. He spent more time. Listen, he did a lot of things, but he spent 3 years with people. Do you know why he spent 3 years with his disciples? He was mentoring them, teaching them, training them, pouring himself into them. So when he was gone, they could lead. And they did. Now I've got a grandchild. Some of you have got children, grandchildren. Don't you love to see when they take them first steps? I mean, they're teetering and tottering. That's what they call them, right? Toddlers. But the more they try, they begin to make them sure steps. And then later on, they move them steps to where they can take them faster and they can run. That's exciting, isn't it? For those parents, it's exciting. And grandparents, it's real exciting, isn't it? To see them grandchildren growing up. If I knew it was going to be this much fun, I'd have had the grandkids first. When God called me to preach, my first sermon was on Hebrews 12:2, running the race. My pastor asked me to preach. He encouraged me. He loaned me books to study. Showed me how to take notes. I was taking baby steps. I was teetering and tottering. But he was mentoring me, pouring himself into me, encouraging me. I'm asking you a question today at Herman Baptist Church. Are you doing that to someone in your life? Are you giving them an entry point? By the way, it's simple to do. You just ask them. Now, I understand that people have to be teachable. The most important qualification any leader or any to-be leader is this question. Are they teachable? If they are teachable, invite them to join you. By the way, there's greater satisfaction in helping others than doing it yourself. I honestly care nothing for the spotlight. It suits me fine to sit in the back if I'm being able to help someone move forward. I don't give a flip about being in the spotlight. I've seen enough of that. Talked to a businessman this past week. Two young men who grew up, and he mentored them in business, and he told me how successful they were and what they had accomplished. I know both of these men. I knew what he was telling me was true. I could sense the pride as he said, you know, I helped train them. I said, I know you did. You did a good job. They went on to excel, maybe even surpass what he's done in business. Folks, listen. This is the fun of it. Not only doing ministry yourself, but helping other people do ministry. We've taken lost people on mission trips before. A lot of times they'll get saved on the mission trip. See what God's doing. I know that's not... Sometimes you just have to be out of the box. God's out of the box, by the way. You can't put him in a box. He's God. He'll do whatever he wants to do. So I'm encouraging you. Do you want to see this church continue to grow and continue to move? This is what you got to do. You can't say, this is my ministry. You have to say, this is God's ministry. And who does God want me to be invited in to be a part of this, to train and to mentor and to teach? Well, you might say, well, they'll take our place. Well, that's okay. Isn't it? I don't have to be up here. We'll put somebody else up here. By the way, I found out that as you try to help other people move forward, God will move you forward whether you want to or not. Don't hold tight onto that spiritual gift. Use it. Helping others. Isn't that what the scripture says? I'm going to read it to you again so you can see it. Based on the gift each one has received, you got that? You got it? You know what your gift is? Use it to do what? To hold on to so that I can be in a spotlight, so that I can be the person of importance. What does it say? Serve others. That's what we're about, folks. As good managers, I want to be a good manager of the varied grace of God. Now, y'all don't have a clock in here, so I have no idea when my time's up. Where is that clock? Oh, it's way up yonder. I ain't paying no attention to it anyway, by the way. I love to preach to you folks. Y'all are fun to preach to. Because you're teachable. You want to grow. You want to move. I'm going to tell you one of my favorite quotes. It's from an old movie in 1972. Now, I love the outdoors. And I loved Jeremiah Johnson the first time I seen it. And I loved it the 20th time I've seen it. Y'all ever seen that movie? You young people need to rent that movie. Jeremiah Johnson. An old mountain man. Great movie. And there was a clip in the movie where Bear Claw, Chris Lapp, said to Jeremiah, "You've come far, Pilgrim." Does anybody remember that quote? "You've come far, Pilgrim." And Jeremiah said, played by Robert Redford, feels like far. And Bear Crawl says, was it worth the trouble? And Jeremiah said, what trouble? That's how I feel. Was it worth the trouble? What trouble? What trouble to serve the Lord? What trouble to invest your life into someone else? What trouble is that? It was fun. It was wonderful. Well, I say to you today, you've come far, pilgrim. And you might say, feels like far. And I'm going to say to you, was it worth the trouble? And what will you say back? I hope you will say, what trouble? What trouble? Your pastor has led you far. Is that as far as you want to go? You've done well. Is this it? I go to some churches that they remember the pinnacle of where they were. They talk about the glory days. They talk about the golden days. That's what the people of Israel did when they were over in captivity. They talked about the golden days when King David was king. That was the glory days. If you want to move further than you are, I'm not saying you haven't done a good job. I'm saying you've done well. You've come far, pilgrim. I am telling you, if you want to go further, there are things you got to do. You must get other people involved. You must teach them. You must train them. You must mentor them. So I'm asking you a question. Who are you mentoring to take your place? If you say, I don't have anybody, then this is as far as you'll go. You want to go further? You want to move beyond the 12 disciples? The opportunity's there. I'm going to tell you a story. I was talking with TC this morning. I said, TC, I said, when we built this new building, we just finished it. We had dedication a few weeks ago. The wonderful occasion that we were so happy. We worked hard. People had given. Many of you had given. And I said, TC, I said, you know, I believe God rewarded our step of faith. Our step of faith was we went into this. It was a big project. Going to cost a lot of money. We felt the Lord leading us. Some of your people are involved in this decision. And I said, yeah, ever since that's happened, we've got a church now that is meeting at the facility. God just gave us another church building, a church, one church side to disassemble. There's going to be a new Spanish mission there. One of our churches already has this ministry. There's 100 people going to move in this building in a few weeks. We never saw this opportunity. It was, but God did. I don't know if it would happen. Maybe it would have happened anyway. I don't know. But I'm saying I'm looking on the backside of a decision that was a faith decision, and God rewarded your association and your church. You're a part of that. And then we met with another church planner this week. God feels him calling to lead another church to plant a church in your association. Three churches that we never knew about are happening within a few weeks. I just think it was God said, I see your faith. I believe God rewards us according to our faith. I believe that. So I want to encourage you. I believe your best days are in front of you. Your pastor wants you to see this. He believes this too. I'm not saying anything that Donnie wouldn't tell you. Donnie would tell you your best days are in front of you. Let's get these people involved. Let's find an entry point for these people. They're coming to your church. God didn't bring them here to your church for them just to warm a pew. God sent them here for a purpose. Blackaby says, take notice. When I first heard this, it was like a light shined in all over. God says, through Blackaby, he says, when people come to your church, take notice of what he's doing. He's bringing those people for a purpose. Not just to sit on the pew. Not just to listen to the pastor. He wants them involved, folks. You are the key to that. I believe you're going to accept the challenge. I believe you're going to move forward. Listen, folks. I'm 62 years old. I know I look good for 70. But I'm only 62. And I've said to God, I want the last part of my ministry spent on helping others, training others, encouraging others, because there'll be a day that we won't be here, folks. And I look around the churches today, I see a lot of gray hair and no hair. And what are we doing for the next generation? Are we investing our lives? God's got a resource in our lives right now that He's taken a long time to build. Are we going to share it? Are we going to invest ourselves in the lives of others? Are we going to hoard it to ourselves and just keep it in? I want to give it away. I may not know much, but what I know, I want to share it with somebody else. I want to help some of those young pastors not make some of the same dumb mistakes I made. There's no use for them to do that. And I bet you've got some experiences you can help others with and say, no, listen, you don't have to do this. I did this. It was a wrong turn. We can help people. That's what I want to do. A few things I want to see you do. I looked in your bulletin. I always look in bulletins. They're interesting. If I read this right, you've got a building debt of $111,865. Is that right? I'd like to see you retire that before you get another pastor. I'd like to see you do that. I'm going to challenge you today to step up. So if God's in this, what I'm telling you, someone step up and take the lead and lead this church to pay off this debt before you get a new pastor. I want to challenge you as a church to prayerfully and carefully select your next man to lead you. The most vulnerable time that a church has is when they don't have a shepherd. There is a void. Nature abhors a void. And I've seen more churches get into trouble at that point in their life than at any time they have it. So I want you to be careful. I want you to pray. Getting a new pastor is like getting married. Easy to get into, hard to separate. It's a big step, folks. Make sure it's God's decision. The Holy Spirit will lead you. I am confident that God can do the same thing He did before. Some of you on the committee that brought Donnie here, you felt that God's leading you. I know that. By the way, we got the same God. He's just as good today as He was 12 years ago. How long has Donnie been here? 12? 14? He's just as good today as he was 14 years ago. Don't you believe that? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you as individual members to invest your lives in training and helping someone else become involved in ministry. I'm looking around all these young people. Sometimes us older ones are the problem. We don't want to step aside. But it's okay to step aside. God's got better things. Let's get some of these people involved and train them and mentor them and hope and pray they'll be better than we were. Isn't that great? Thank you. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to have an invitation. Larry's going to come up here and stand. If you want to respond. Now, the church doors are always open, by the way. I know this about this church. Anytime anyone wants to come and join, you don't know Jesus, you can find him today. He's the reason for all of what we're talking about, by the way. You know that. It ain't about us. And it ain't about you. It's about what he's doing in each of our lives. Or if you just may say where you are, in your seat, I accept this challenge. I'm going to do my part. I believe the best days of Hermit are ahead of us. And I know I must make this step to make this happen. As you stand with me, I'm going to pray with you. Father, I know that you love us individually. And there is nothing greater in the world than your love for us. I know that you love Herman Baptist Church. I know that you want the very best for them. I know that you want them to grow and increase in their love to you and service, their love for missions. And Father, you've done a tremendous work here. But you're a great God. And I believe that there can be greater things done. And I'm praying for that. I'm praying, people of Herman Baptist Church. I'm praying that they're going to retire this debt. I'm praying that they're going to help develop and train and mentor new people in your service, in your great kingdom here. I want to thank you what you've done through the life of this pastor and his wife. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their commitment to you. And I'm praying future blessings upon both of them as you lead them in a new direction. Father, whatever you do, your Holy Spirit is omnipotent. And I know that if you're in this today, that your Spirit will speak to us and encourage us. That's what I'm praying for. In Jesus' name we ask.